So we will move forward to item number 5. Discussion, possible action on special use permit 2020-021, which is a request by the applicant Stericycle Inc. to construct and operate a medical and other special waste incinerator facility. This was the item that was held over from our last meeting. So at this time, we have had some discussion on this. I will turn it over to staff to update us and to open up any additional information that would like to be done. Yes, sir, Mr.
May I have a disclosure made, Mr. Chairman, if I might?
Oh, 1 second, Chris.
Okay.
There, Chris, go ahead. You're unmuted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a disclosure to make. I work with a consultant, and two of the companies I work for, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, and Landfill and Commercial Real Estate Services, Inc., have a pecuniary interest in a land transaction that is in escrow and full deposit has been paid with this particular applicant. So in an exercise of caution, I will refuse on this agenda. I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Thompson. You will be participating just as a general citizen then on this topic?
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So at this point, I turn it over to staff.
All right.
Ms. Canfield?
Kathy Canfield for the record. This application is for the company Stericycle, which is wanting to operate a medical waste facility located at 1655 Milan Drive within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. This was continued from the July 16th meeting. At that meeting, planning commissioners requested some answers to some questions they had in writing. Stericycle has provided that response, and that was sent out earlier to the planning commissioners, and I believe it was on Monday, and then posted on the website. We also received some additional correspondence from an adjacent property owner in opposition to the project, and that was also sent to the Planning Commission and posted on the website. We did receive another correspondence in opposition to the project today, later this afternoon, that was sent out to the Planning Commissioners, and that was posted on the website also. At this time, I believe Stericycle is ready to answer any questions and has a brief presentation and ready to answer any questions the planning commissioners might still have.
So we'll then open it to Stericycle to make their brief follow-up presentation, and then we'll take questions after that.
They can share their screen.
And if you would like to share your screen as well, that is available. Yeah.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Okay, good evening, Chairman Hindle and members of the Planning Commission, the county and members of the community. I'm Dominic Pallotta, Executive Vice President and Chief Engineer at Stericycle. On behalf of Stericycle, I'd like to extend our sincere gratitude to the Commission for allowing us to present a condensed version of the application proposal. Many of you saw last month after the decision for the proposed facility was continued. We wanted the opportunity to present again for a few reasons. For one, a few members of the commission were not available to attend last month, and we feel strongly that all should be given the opportunity to hear our plans directly from the source. Those of us who will be on the ground accountable for the safe construction and operation of the facility. We are also pleased to have received, reviewed, and taken into consideration feedback from the community and direct thinking. We take this feedback very seriously, and the updated presentation you will hear today reflects that. Finally, this type of facility is critical and necessary in time when we are faced with a pandemic to support our healthcare communities. And we wanted to share a deeper understanding of who we are at Stericycle, how we have been committed to this service for over 30 years, and how our commitment to safety and the environment will ensure this state-of-the-art facility will help facilitate that service for many years to come. I'll start with an overview of what the site will look like once fully operational. Next, I'll share a few comments about the incinerators, how they work, and the rigorous environmental and safety standards that guide their operation. And then finally, I'll discuss how we at Stericycle are working to be a model corporate citizen and valuable member of the community. But first, let me introduce my Stericycle colleagues who join me today. While I am also feeling accountable for the development stage of this project, I will eventually hand that accountability torch to Rich Moore, our Executive Vice President of North American Operations. He's here to answer any questions you have about the operational facility. Both Rich and I joined Stericycle during the beginning of 2019. We both have more than 30 years of operational and engineering experience, along with an extensive history of global leadership responsibilities while at UPS. We are part of the complete transformation of the executive leadership team at Stericycle. We chose Stericycle for the opportunity to instill rigorous standardized processes and heighten the level of accountability and ownership within the company under the new CEO's leadership. Additionally, we have Dale Rich, our Vice President of Incinerator Operations, Celine Hoboy, Vice President of Government Affairs and Compliance, and Kristen Marshall, Director of Global Plant Engineering, all of whom attended the last meeting. Finally, we enlisted the help of Will Adler to work with various stakeholders in Story County to help us better understand the local concerns of the community. For the benefit of those calling in and without access to the presentation, I'm showing an illustration of our proposed site at 1655 Milan Drive, which is zoned for heavy industrial use, along with the same usage as the adjacent neighbors. This is an excellent slide because it puts things into perspective, and so I'll take a little extra time to explain that. Our site is a 20-acre parcel, which we only intend to develop about 5 acres for the facility and the necessary parking around it. The land was intentionally purchased this way to leave the sizable buffer zone, which you can see on the illustration, to the north and to the south of the building, and this was done to minimize impact on wildlife and our neighbors. All operations will be conducted inside the 50,000 square foot facility that rests upon property. The incinerators we intend to build are small in comparison to larger municipal solid waste incinerators. So, for example, the total projected capacity of the two incinerators that we intend to install are 3.5 tons per hour, as opposed to municipal facilities, which are much larger and may process as much as 70 tons or more. In addition, our traffic impact, which also was came up in various concerns from some of the community, will also be a very small impact, as we only plan to receive about 10 to 15 trailers per day and employ 30 full-time, but skilled and trained team members that will enjoy good benefits and wages. From an economic impact perspective, the construction phase of the project will support many jobs, with the project spend expected to be about $14 million in the local area, while ongoing annual spend will be about $500,000 for the basic support and maintenance required for a property this size. Once complete, the facility will process certain types of medical waste designated for incineration, such as waste pharmaceuticals, trace chemotherapy drugs, and pathological waste, which often come from the hospitals, universities, special surgical centers, pharmacies, and the like. Incinerating these types of medical waste is the environmental best practice for disposal, and these facilities are expensive, complex, and highly regulated. Stericycle is committed to safety and the environment, and our team continues to drive meaningful improvements. Just to give you an example, today we happen to be announcing our second quarter earnings. And during that, we also announced that we had reduced the 2020 global injury recordable rate by 31% and our vehicle accident rate by 34% compared to the same 6 months the previous year. And I always like to say, this doesn't happen by accident. We've implemented a multi-pronged program over the last 18 months that includes a centralized global focus on safety, enhanced training programs, and a shift in the behavior-based safety culture at our company. And our commitment starts at the top, as the board of directors, in an unusual move, also added a committee dedicated to the operational health and safety to demonstrate how serious safety is to culture. I also feel compelled to take a moment to discuss the Stericycle incinerator facility in Utah that has been the basis of some community concern. First of all, the North Salt Lake City facility remains fully operational and compliant. The violation that has been brought up by those opposed to the facility here in Story County occurred 9 years ago and is the only citation for emissions violation experienced in the facility's 24-year history of operation. In fact, results from two separate subsequent Davis County Department of Health studies have demonstrated that emissions from the facility present no health risk to the surrounding community. However, the community around us in North Salt Lake City was rezoned residential. The facility was starting to age. It's not optimally located, and it lacked adequate processing capacity. This is what drove our decision to seek a better alternative. Hey, and we found it. Our proposed flagship facility in Story County would be the most technologically advanced of its kind, and we will adhere to even more stringent environmental standards than required at all our other legacy incinerator facilities. Again, for those calling in, the slide I'm speaking to now has a flow diagram on it that showing the incineration process. And to note, it will be state-of-the-art, utilizing the latest in technology, including a robust air pollution abatement system, and demonstrates a large role emissions control plays. We hold the safety of our future employees, neighbors, and the local wildlife in the highest regard. We have heard the concerns about what an incinerator means for the environment, so let me provide some context. We are subject to stringent federal, state, and regulations under the EPA, Hospital Medical Infectious Waste Incinerator Regulations. We follow a proven air pollution control process shown here for best-in-class emission results. Furthermore, this new incinerator within a newly constructed facility will be subject to the most stringent emission standards of any incinerator category. The emissions testing at our operating facilities demonstrate that we are significantly below allowable limits, but you don't have to take our word for it. We are required to conduct testing in accordance with the EPA, and all samples and analysis are administered by a third party and submitted directly to the State Bureau of Air Quality. Finally, I'd like to report back on some of our community engagement. We reached out to the American Law Force campaign with whom we've had productive meetings thus far. Their priorities were very clear about traffic safety and vehicle strikes, access to drinking water, and having sustainable habitat for the wild horses. And we are very much committed to further supporting these missions and participating with business members of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. In addition, we service a variety of local businesses in Surrey County, Reno, and surrounding districts, including multiple doctor's offices, labs, international airports, retail, as well as the Douglas County School District and the Washoe County Sheriff and Health District. We also provide services for federal, state, and local governments, as well as all branches of the military. We're proud to be an industry leader in the medical waste incineration as we protect what matters. We have ongoing relationships with government agencies that work on initiatives to improve regulations and provide needed services. Among them is the establishment of a program we set up with the DEA for controlled substances, for which we partner with the National Safety Council to combat the ongoing opioid epidemic. I'd like to conclude by saying we are committed to being fully transparent when we work with the public officials and members of the local community. Thank you, Chairman Hindle, for this opportunity, and we will gladly answer any questions for the commission that you may have.
So at this time, I'm going to open it up to the planning commissioners for a question. Are they available unmuted?
They can unmute themselves.
You can. The planning commissioners can unmute themselves. Any questions for the applicant? I see Adrian first, Larry, so I'm going to go with Commissioner Bob first, please.
Okay, I just wanted to let everybody know that I was had a phone call from Bob Adler, and I just wanted to put that out there, that if he did reach out to me and we spoke, everything that we had to talk about mostly was him just telling me things that, it's not going to sway me one way or the other. I'm here to listen to everybody's sides and read all the, the packet and and go from there. I did want to disclose to everybody that I did, was reached out by him and we did speak.
I'll add on to that. Thank you, Adrian, that I also had an email exchange with the Adlers just introducing themselves that they would be participating. I just told them that they were welcome additions from the standpoint of having any additional information they could add to help us with our decision, but nothing further from there. So I think that's important. Thank you for yours. Any other, I think, Larry, you want to do jump in? Commissioner Prater?
Please. I've also spoken with Sarah Adler a couple of times. I was invited out to look at the site. Unfortunately, I was unable to make it because of I can't think of the word. But anyhow, I was predisposed. Like Adrian, I told Sarah that I'm keeping an open mind and go from there. I have a question for Mr. Culotto. That's that right? Okay. Okay. Thank you. I've been reviewing both your response, maybe July 31. I believe, and I'm sure you're aware of the letter that we received from Blockchains that was 14 pages of comment followed up by roughly 320 pages of background information. So, as you're aware, they put a lot of time and effort into a response to this, and they have asked us deny you. One of the things that came up that bothered me a little bit about your response was the activity in North Las Vegas. The your letter says that you had an approval, but then you decided to back out of Las Vegas because of lack of infrastructure. Now, Blockchains said, no, you didn't have a removal. You did not have approval. So I called our staff, and fortunately, Kathy is very careful with these sorts of issues and had researched the activity down in Las Vegas. And it kind of turns out that both of you were right in that and you did receive a special use permit. It expired in 2 years, and you went back to get it renewed. And at that time, staff down there recommended denial. And shortly after that, I can't say shortly, but sometime after that, you decided to pull your application down there. Stating that it was because of lack of infrastructure. I'm curious why your response to us in your July 31 letter didn't address that denial.
Yes, well, thank you for the question, Commissioner Prater. Looking at that North Las Vegas area, the issues that were coming about, and as I was coming into the organization looking at that, we had allowed that permit to expire, and the concerns around the lack of infrastructure was really what was driving this whole decision of our inability to really have any confidence to build something there, and hence allowing that to expire. So, and I could also ask Dale Rich, who is our coordinates all the incineration facilities for us as well. Perhaps Joe can add just a little bit more color to that.
Is he with us, or are you with
us? Thank you, Dominic. Chairman Endel, Dale Rich here. Dominic's correct. We we allowed that permit to expire. We withdrew our application. As we looked at that park, there were a number of infrastructure challenges that that didn't pan out. That park had a significant lack of water, electrical, gas support for the facility. Ultimately, we made the decision to just withdraw from that park.
I'm curious why you filed for a renewal.
There were a number of things at play in us trying to develop the infrastructure. There were a lot of technical issues. Water was one of the big problems to the industrial park. So a lot was happening during the entire time period. And they, as things developed, we adjusted and reacted for a while.
You were able to make that decision before doing an application for a renewal?
Yeah, I would suggest that the main reason we were calling for renewal is just to keep the opportunity open. But it was pretty clear to us that it was not the best place to be.
We initially filed for a renewal, but we concluded that the infrastructure our need, and so we were.
Okay, so you're telling me it was just kind of coincidental that you decided to withdraw about the same time that Northwest Vegas planning staff recommended you die.
At the time of the occurrence of all these opportunities here, and we're always looking at alternatives and better solutions. If we were to have a better opportunity, we likely would have built on that much sooner. But clearly, it was a signal that it wasn't worth going through for us. We definitely didn't have a good infrastructure to work with. So it just made it very clear to end that alternative completely. When we're also assessing our opportunities, we like to look at multiple alternatives and seek the best solution, because it's going to be a long-term solution. So it's, in the end, how that worked out.
Okay. So, in fact, you're saying that it was a coincidence?
In part, even if they had approved it again, there's still a good likelihood, even if they would have approved it, that we still may not have built that facility. That is what I'm saying, because of the lack of infrastructure. At some point, we had to make a decision to move on. That kind of happened, knowing that that was happening, kind of made it an easy decision for us, if that's a better way to say it.
Okay. Well, then the second part of my question is, in your response to date July 31, in the interest of transparency, why wasn't that put forward?
The same question here on the in the letter stated that way, sir?
Yeah. In the letter, you do not mention that North Las Vegas staff, planning staff, have recommended denial.
I would like, if I could, ask Celine Hoboy if you're on, and because I know you helped prepare the letter of responses, if you could add some color behind that specific question of the commissioner.
Ms. Hoboy, you're still muted. If you could unmute yourself.
Sorry about that.
There you go.
I had a double mute. This is Celine Hoboy with Shared Cycle. Thank you again for having us this evening. Yeah, I understand your question, Commissioner Prater, and I think the main thing is we were really trying to focus on why we were moving to Florida County, and really the reasons why was that we found the infrastructure we were looking for here, and we were trying to show that that was part of the reason why we didn't end up going to Las Vegas. It's actually the same reason why we didn't end up building in Tulare County in Utah, which is a facility we were only permitted to start being able to start construction at. And we looked at other locations as well where we didn't actually have you know, similar infrastructure issues. So, you know, we're trying to make sure that we have, like, Dominic emphasized here, a long-term plan and somebody in a location that really is part of a long-range vision, has a long-range vision for this type of facility. And that's why in Torrey County, it really ended up being a great opportunity for us, because that was exactly what was in the master plan. And it was zoned for incineration with a heavy industrial overlay in this location. And that's why we really felt that this would be a better location for us ultimately. And we apologize for the oversight, but ultimately that was the reason why we didn't focus on it.
You got one more question on that, or I was going to give someone else an opportunity. Okay. You got two?
I have another question that's related to this.
Okay.
Company of your size and expertise and everything in this, and how excited plants all over the world, I'm kind of curious how you even decided that if nobody took an interest in the lack of infrastructure in North Las Vegas before you even filed your first application. I'm an engineer, and I worked in construction for about, I don't know, 45 years or so as a project manager, like that. And these sort of due diligence things are, to me, they just, you know, you start out with a simple checklist, and that's one of the top items in your checklist.
Yes, Commissioner Frager, let me answer this question. I've been over 30 years working in operations and engineering, and I came to Stericycle April of last year. This company, we did not have a well-organized engineering department. We didn't have an engineering department. We had people that did engineering that were fragmented and spread all over. So what I have done coming into the organization is brought a few people that also have lots of years of experience, and we brought together various people within the organization. We created an industrial engineering department, a plant engineering department, a capital planning and budgeting department, and all these things come together to do all the planning. So what we found, part, you know, I spoke to the fact that we brought this whole new leadership here. Our CEO was brought in 2018 as the chief operating officer, and subsequently became the CEO. And this is a transformation of all the leadership team to bring in and create all this expertise and be much, run the business much more efficiently and effective. So, and part of, with me coming here, part of the theme that we work under is, you know, centralizing, standardizing, and optimizing. And all this planning, so I very much appreciate that you're an engineer, and that is my core function throughout the business, my business life, and is implementing all this processes here so that we don't want to have mistakes and things of that nature happen in the future. And so we have, we're setting up very rigorous and stringent planning processes all the way through the execution side of things. So that's what very much is part of what we're changing here in the culture of Stericycle.
Okay, so in the past, you contracted out plant design?
A lot of engineering was contracted out. So, I mean, we still contract out various pieces of work, but what we're bringing the majority in-house.
Okay, and you have qualified people to review plans and things like that before they even commence construction?
Absolutely.
Qualified people who can review the plans and construction. Professional engineers. By that I mean By that I mean license.
And when it comes to licensed PE, professional engineers that we need, we will subcontract some of those as necessary to supplement whatever skills we don't possess specifically within the organization.
Okay.
But I can promise you this, and we will manage the projects in-house.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
So, other commissioners with questions? Seeing none, I will open it up to public comment. So at this time, please use the raise your hand function. And I will recognize you in the order at which your hand is raised. I'm seeing Mr. DeGesti.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
We've got you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman Hanson, and members of the Planning Commission. My name is Matt DeGesti, Vice President of Government Affairs for Blockchain LLC. I'm here to speak in opposition to the special use permit request by Stericycle. Although we have provided you a detailed opposition, we take this opportunity to highlight three important points. First, why is blockchain here? Second, why is Stericycle here? And third, why should the special use permit be denied? So first, why is blockchain here? Blockchain is here because we care about Story County. When our founder, Jeffrey Burns, decided to build a high-tech community, he carefully considered many sites in the U.S., he chose Story County to develop a world-class, cutting-edge business and technology park integrated with the master plan residential community. This development builds upon the evolution already taking place at Trick with the likes of Tesla, Google, and Switch already investing billions into the county. Mr. Burns acquired 60,000 acres in McCarran and Painted Rock. He has made the largest monetary land investment in Story County history. He has created 100-plus high-paying jobs in Story County, and he has long-term plans to create thousands of high-paying jobs with future investments in the billions of dollars. Yet these transformational plans could be destroyed by a single company. Second, why is Stericycle here? I don't need to rehash what was filed in our written statement. Frankly, we would be here all night. But Stericycle is here for one reason. It cannot get approved to operate anywhere else. So why would Story County, with such a positive and historic plan development, welcome business to threaten the future of the entire development. Our hope is that Story County will deny the special use permit application. Lastly, why should the special use permit be denied? We have three reasons. First, the project causes a substantial detriment to the public good. Utah has determined that Stericycle is dangerous to the public. North Las Vegas concluded the same thing. The wild horse population could be put at risk with polluted water sources, altered migration patterns, and increased vehicle horse accidents, which all harm the public good. Put bluntly, Stericycle significantly increases the risk for public, the environment, and the wild horse population. Second, this project is not consistent with the existing master plan. In McCarran, we have Tesla, Switch, Google, and several other Fortune 500 companies. Stericycle is asking you to approve a medical waste incinerator in the middle of these high-tech businesses. This is incompatible and inconsistent. The problem is compounded with the residential component of our future development plans. No one wants to live or work next to a polluting medical waste incinerator, no matter how high-tech, with a significant history of accidents causing substantial harm to the public. Lastly, Stericycle made a lot of the fact that there is new leadership, a new CEO, a board creating unique subcommittees, but that new leadership was in place when Stericycle told this commission about the reasons it abandoned the North Las Vegas application. It left out the fact that the staff at North Las Vegas recommended denial. It was not an oversight, it was a choice by Stericycle's new and improved leadership to leave out critical information to this commission. They're requesting our approval on one hand while not being totally transparent on the other. We would like to thank you for your time. I ask that you carefully consider our paperwork and vote to recommend denial of the special use permit application. And I have prepared a written statement of my comments and ask that the clerk attach my statement to the minutes of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DeGesti. Any other comments? I'm looking for raised hands.
Jim, Larry again. Jim.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Jim.
Yes, sir, Larry.
Yeah. I think we ought to give Stericycle an opportunity to respond to Mr. Jesse and Mark. Jake Brian.
Mr. Culotta, would you like to respond to that one specifically, or would you like to hear all the public comment and then have a chance to respond after public comment?
Probably after public comments would be, or complete is probably best.
Okay. We will go forward. I saw a hand raised by Mr. Hendricks. Mr. Hendricks?
Again, I know I'm being a nuisance.
Go ahead, Larry.
I have some questions for Mr. Agesti.
Okay. That's appropriate.
Sir, in your response, it mentioned several times about your plans to develop technical communities that include residential. Surely you're aware that there's no allowance in the current master plan or agreements or things like that for any kind of residential developments in TRI. What's your response to that?
Thank you, Commissioner, and you are correct. Within the industrial center, there are restrictions on residential units, but part of the land purchase included an area called Painted Rock, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with that area or not. It lies...
Yes, I am.
Okay. So when you speak to the residential portion of the development, it's one piece of an entire development, which residential sits outside the industrial center, but the ITEC Business Park sits within, partially within and partially without the industrial center. So we view it as one large development. And it's close enough, obviously, to this special use permit. And it not only impacts the residential portion, but the overall development as an integrated master plan community.
Thank you.
Next, may I move to the next one, Larry?
Please.
Okay. Mr. Hendricks, I see you there. Are you unmuted? If you could be a little closer to your microphone, that would help us, please, or your volume increased.
Is that a little better?
That's better. Is that good, Lindy, for...
Yeah, thank you very much.
There you go.
I appreciate the time that you've allocated. My name's Greg Hendricks. I'm with American Wild Horse Campaign, and I'm the Director of Field Operations with them. And I would like to thank the Stericycle staff, as well as Mr. Alder for their time listening to our requests related to mitigation on wild horse impact. We very much appreciate your openness on that and your attention to our requests. The American Wild Horse Campaign is obviously still concerned with the impact for wild horses in the habitat and to our guarders and volunteers out at the site, being in close proximity to the construction area and also the final facility. Our concern really ties in as well with the wild horse concern from blockchain in their letter, and we see, you know, that kind of similarity in our concerns as well. One of the elements that we'd like to bring up is the fact that we currently have no really detailed mitigation plan from Stericycle. And so with that, we would like to see, prior to an approval or at least a contingency, that something in writing be addressing some of the specifics that we provided to them related to lighting and traffic on the lawn drive, to fence setbacks so there isn't a trap next to the road, a proximity where their facility entrance and exit will be. And finally, potential exposure, you know, should they have excess exposure related to the bypass situation that can occur. Though infrequently, it does generate some concern there as well. So again, we would recommend that a mitigation plan be developed in writing and presented either prior to the approval and or as a contingency of the approval and an addressment of the blockchain concerns as well as it relates to wild horses.
Thank you, Mr. Hendricks. Any questions of Mr. Hendricks since we've had the... I see none. I do want to just take a moment to acknowledge that Commissioner Staples has joined us. Brian, if you could just test your unmute and say here.
I am here.
All right, good. Thank you.
Sorry I'm late.
Any other public comment? I see Sam Toll. Mr. Toll, please go ahead.
Chairman Hindle, for the record, Sam Toll. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Calling you here from lovely Gold Hill. Perhaps my house is about as far away from this facility as it could be here in Storrs County. I am speaking today in opposition of the special use permit. I share the concerns that Mr. DeJesse from Blockchain brought up. I'm also concerned about the wild horses. Even though I didn't participate in the vote, it's my understanding that Storrs County voted against Yucca Mountain when the opportunity was presented before the voters. And my question, based upon the two entities, or I guess my comments, this is comment only, based upon the two entities that are before the board tonight, is that, you know, by approving this type of business, both Stericycle and the Asian Chemical Company, we're setting a precedent to invite similar types of companies in Storrs County. I've been accused of being against all kinds of business, and there are folks who have suggested that it was up to me, the industrial park should never exist. That can't be further from the truth. I think what's been accomplished at Sierra Caroline and the revenues that it represents for the county is substantial and impressive. However, it's important to recognize the types of firms that we're going to let in and be cautious about what the long-term impact is for this type of development. Not just in the, you know, the community, the horses, the folks who live close to it, but how about our first responders? Should there be an accident that goes in there, what type of equipment and dangers are folks going to be you know, facing when they enter a dangerous situation inside either of the two facilities? I've talked to folks within the fire department, and there's a very big concern about training, about equipment, about potential for, you know, personal injury, and what could be released into the environment. So, with that, I'd like to encourage you to not vote to approve this special use permit. Even though, you know, what Stericycle does is a necessary and positive contribution to our country. Thank you, Mr. Handel.
Thank you, Mr. Toll. Since the people who are on, who have participating with us via telephone can't raise their hand, anybody who is on a telephone, would you like to make public comment? I'm seeing none.
This is Jim Collins, Commissioner.
Yes, sir, Mr. Collins.
Yeah, I'd like to see what Dominic has to say about what you just heard.
So I was just going to see if we're finished with any other public comment at the moment, and then I'll do just what you're requesting, Commissioner, to allow to turn it back to Stericycle. And since I don't see I don't see any other hands raised, and no one on the telephone spoke up. I will turn it back to you, Mr. Collada, to address the issues that you heard in public comment.
All right, thank you very much, Commissioner. Steer recycle started about 30 years ago because of the crisis of needles washing up on the Atlantic seaboard shoreline. And it was set up in the purpose to improve the communities and safeguard all of us and the environment. Currently, we treat about 900,000 tons of medical waste each year, about 142,000 tons of pharmaceuticals. So we are about protecting people, promoting public health, and safeguarding the environment. We're trusted by hospitals, healthcare companies, and the government. We are very safe. When you look at the grand scale of what we handle and the amount of issues that have actually occurred, there will be some, and there will be some exceptions. But we are highly committed to continuously improve and do it significantly. And I would like to recall again some of the comments I made in the presentation. The first half of 2020 versus the first half of 2019, a 31% improvement in the safety frequency of our employees, 34% safety frequency per reduction in vehicle accidents. These are some of the precise things that are coming up on this call right now. We do protect all the environments around us. We have 7 incinerated facilities, 46 autoclave facilities, and 130 transport sites. And with regard to that, we have, again, minimal concerns, and we continue to get better and better as we go forward. I have to emphasize as well that the leadership change from the board to the CEO, the CFO, Chief People Officer, the North American Executive Vice President, myself. We also added an Ethics and Compliance Officer to the organization. And we have a new, about a year and a half ago, Senior Vice President of the Employee Health and Safety Group. That's significant. We are transforming this organization. I share those safety improvements because I think that's the very tangible evidence of what we have done differently and better. And we, as time progresses, we continue to do that much more. The engineering function, again, I started here in April last year. We started forming the department in about July. We have 190 engineers, and we're more than just engineers sitting at a desk. We have our operators that are trained in all the functionality and the many regulatory items that need to be done. The engineers help support by now centralizing those activities and standardizing things to help make our people more successful. While the Employee Health and Safety Group, which is now also centralized, is doing the same thing to train our people to be more effective. It doesn't happen by accident that our safety is improved by more than 30%. Year over year. It is a cause and effect. It is the changing of the behavior of the people. The Story County received as a great opportunity. We love the way it's set up with for heavy industrial, special industrial zone. It's shovel ready. It has the infrastructure. It has the optimal site that we would like to have as well. So with everything, in response to the questions, we will continue to work with the county and we'll continue to work with the community and address all the concerns and make sure that from a planning perspective, we share all that with you throughout the entire progression of the project and that we are very highly committed to making sure it's a success, not just for us, but for the community, the county, and the environment. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Collada. Any other comments or questions from commissioners based on public comment and what we've heard in response?
Yeah, this is Adrian. I have a statement.
Please, Adrian.
All right, I just want to issue a little bit of warning be careful when putting out stats from the first 6 months of last year versus the first 6 months of this year. I'm not sure and nobody knows, you know, how much the demand you had, that kind of thing. And, just it was a very different first 6 months of the year this year because of COVID versus any other year. So that's just something to be wary of. And also, I was also sort of disappointed to not see a written plan for the horses as well. So that's my statement.
Commissioner Collins, were you had an additional question or statement?
Yeah, you know, I care about horses. I think they're beautiful and all that, but this is an industrial park, and I understand they're going to address some things for the horse community, but I think that this would fit into the industrial park. It's not a residential area. What it is, industrial park. That's my opinion.
Thank you, Commissioner Collins. Mr. Collada, a question that kind of came up in my mind, and maybe you can speak to, is do you have other U.S.-based facilities, and in what states are those?
Well, we've got ACS business. We have about 183 facilities spread across the United States. So our company has two core businesses. It's the HES, the regulated medical waste, and it's the shred where we document destruction. So just on the HES side, like I said, we have about 183 facilities that make up, again, about 133 just transport and transferring stations, 46 autoclaves, and then 7 incinerators. The incinerators primarily are from like Kansas, Louisiana, North Carolina to the east. If that helps answer your question.
Yes. So you have multiple facilities across the country.
Correct.
Have you? I guess I'd given the character of the discussion. Can you discuss a little bit of the performance of those facilities and the relationships, or if you've had issues with governmental regulators in those states, and has any facility been shut down due to regulatory enforcement?
Okay, very good question. And I'm going to say that I know, just looking at some documents, it appears that we've had a very, very good record over the last 5 years, and I believe further back. Generally, our issues come because of when areas right next to us are rezoned to residential. And what I would like to do is, who will have the specifics, Dale Rich. Now, keep in mind, when some of the issues did occur with us in the North Salt Lake area, the company decided by learning from those mistakes, Dale Rich was selected around 2013-14 and brought in to do nothing but centralize the management of the incinerator piece. And since then, I think we've had a very, very good record. And Dale, if you could, please just answer that with some more specifics, please.
You're on mute, Mr. Rich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
There we go.
So, to be clear, are you asking about the other incinerator facilities or Stericycle facilities in general?
I would say let's limit it to the other incinerator facilities, and interested in whether state regulatory agencies have taken the action to, I'll say, significantly penalize or even close down based on non-compliance issues.
None of our incinerators have been closed down, and there's been no regulatory action to even suggest that. All the facilities are in compliance with their emission standards and permitting. At present, we conduct our emissions testing on an annual basis. That testing has been successful. I think in our first presentation, at our first hearing meeting, we shared some average emissions data with you, which showed it was a compilation of all the facilities and their compliance record from an emission standpoint, so we actually performed very well. From an impact perspective, going back to Utah, Dominic had stated that, you know, a government agency conducted two health studies, and those studies concluded that an older facility, a facility that's been operating for years with less technology, lesser technologies, had no measurable impact on the environment. So I think that government study speaks for itself. We believe that we don't have any significant impact on the environment, and it's been measured and tested, and that's how it that's how it vets out. We simply don't have an impact on the environment.
Thank you. Maybe staff can answer this. Not sure. Any idea the number of hazardous operations we have in the park that would deem to have hazardous that have got SUPs?
Mr. Chairman,
yes, sir, County Manager Osborne. You want to jump in on that one?
I'll give it a try. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but we do have quite a number of companies at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center that are classified one way or another. In fact, this board had considered another medical waste processing facility, I believe a year or two ago. Kathy could probably clarify more specifically, but deals with medical waste. It's on Denmark. We have a company out there that deals with high volumes of ammunition and manufacturing of military arms. We have a company that deals with hydrogen and gas to diesel processing. We have another company out there that deals with the transfer of medical waste and other municipal waste into diesel fuel, a very volatile program, and it does have special use. We have another company out there that manufactures gasoline and diesel. In fact, if you go to a Golden Gate Petroleum gas station anywhere in the state of Nevada or wherever else they're located, most of that fuel is coming out of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. And there's a number of others, but those that I have, the ones that come to mind, I'll note too that there are companies that don't require special use permits that have high volumes of ammonia and other not only hazardous substances, but those that are quite volatile. But don't require special use, but they are also operating on a tri-center. So I just want to make that as part of the record for your request. I'm sure in this and a few, but those are just a few that come to mind. I have a few other comments too when you're ready, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
If I can ask another quick follow-up, County Manager Osborne, and also staff, if you want to dive in. How active is NDEP within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center? Do they have regular monitoring? Do they rely only on the organizations in the center, the industrial partners that we have to do that, or do they also come out and conduct audits on their own?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the record, Austin Osborne. And some of this I might defer to Kathy Canfield, our senior planner, because she's the qualified person in this, but I can tell you that the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection is involved, just like has been presented tonight, in all air monitoring, water monitoring, other environmental monitoring, and compliance and regulatory measures. I understand, it's my understanding, I look to Kathy for confirmation, but that this company will also be under EPA air regulations as applicable to the processes they're using. So NDP is not like a monitoring agency that keeps an eye on the companies that are tried. They are the regulatory agency of the state. They follow their own revised statutes, Nevada administrative codes. They are working with the NDP or the U.S. EPA in following those regulatory measures. So, I mean, they are the authority in the state of Nevada for monitoring all environmental matters out in Storey County and Tri-City.
Correct. This is Kathy Canfield. They issue their own permits. They follow up and monitor their own permits. And they, again, we don't have, Storey County doesn't have air quality regulations. We are looking to NDEP to have that expertise to do that.
Thank you. I had one more question. Now it's left my head.
Yeah, I'm sorry again.
Go ahead.
Wonder in the future if Kathy could have her own screen during these meetings. She's a little hard to hear in the background there.
Do you want her to repeat what she said?
I'll try to speak louder for tonight.
We're trying to practice social distancing, Larry.
I understand. While I'm on, I have just one kind of short, well, two short questions for Mr. Colada.
Please, go ahead.
First, question, I'm curious if he's a licensed engineer, and his group of 190 that he has there, engineers, if he knows, I don't need a precise number, about how many of them are licensed. And also, if he's aware that in the state of Nevada, it's illegal to present yourself as an engineer without a license.
All right. Well, let me answer that in reverse. I am not aware of the Nevada law to not present yourself as an engineer without a license. I am graduated with a degree in industrial engineering, worked at UPS for 36 years, primarily as an engineer, and about 10 years in operations. And back to the other statement, as best I know, we are going to be generalists, is probably the best way to say it. As far as our engineers, I can only check with Kristen Marshall's on, and I'm not sure, Kristen, if any of our facility engineers are licensed as indicated by Mr. Prater's question.
But if it's possible to Commissioner Prater, I'd like to answer.
Yes, please.
Please, Ms. Marshall, go ahead.
Thank you, Commissioner Hindle. Commissioner Prater, as you would already be well familiar with, different engineering professions require a different level of PE license. So in the state of Nevada, we do not currently have anyone internally who holds a professional engineer's license. So we will be working with and have already started reaching out to local engineering firms to assist us in the various disciplines. So we will need to make sure that we have licensed civil, mechanical, electrical, all of the disciplines that are licensed appropriately in Nevada as we go through the building, permitting, and design process. Thank you.
Thank you. That answers my question.
Okay. And then I just wanted to, the thought that went out of my head came back in as I gave it time. I just wanted to reconfirm through the staff report that the parcel that we're talking about is zoned industrial, I-2 heavy industrial, and that there all the adjacent properties to this parcel are I-2 industrial as well. It does not abut onto anything that would be of a lesser industrial intensity zoning, does it not?
That's correct.
County Manager Osborne, you had a comment that you wanted to add in, an additional comment?
Right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. County Manager Austin Osborne. Two items, and then I'll be done. The first one is regarding the master plan of residential uses at Tahoe Industrial Center. The master plan prohibits residential uses at Trey Center. I think everyone here recognizes that. In fact, one commissioner tonight was involved in the development of the original master plan and zoning from 1999, and that so that is number one. The zoning prohibits residential uses at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, and of course the development agreement between the counties prohibits residential and Tri-Center. And the reason for that is part of the discussion we're having tonight. Residential uses are not compatible with industrial and heavy intense types of things that Tri-Center is designed to accommodate. Number two is I have worked with in planning on staff just about 10 years, and I was on the planning commission before that, before so, and in all of the cases, including this one, the Story County Fire Chief of the Story County Fire Protection District is intimately involved in the development of these staff reports to all of our companies, and they have no concerns whatsoever as far as being able to respond to the types of emergency medical, fire, and other types of responses to this use, as well as every other use out of Tri and across Story County. The fire chief is fully aware of what's happening tonight. He does not have any concerns whatsoever. If there are any special types of things that the fire district is not prepared to respond to, there are codes and other requirements that these company would have to provide training, apparatus, equipment, etc., for those folks to be able to respond. This is nothing new for us. This is very routine, and a lot of the companies out of Tri and across Story County do have such agreements and provide those necessary elements for a proper response. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Any other comments from commissioners or questions?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Please go ahead, Summer.
Oh, I have tried, and my phone just will not work. So I just wanted to add my two cents in on this, looking at it from a planning perspective. I mean, I see that it's been zoned as heavy industrial since 1999, and it also carries that land use designation as well. So what I'm really looking at from a planning perspective is that some of the issues that this type of facility, some of the issues that it could generate are being mitigated. I looked through the different conditions of approval, and I mean, just like Austin just said, I mean, they're going to be subject to Title 40 federal regulations. They're going to be regulated by the EPA. They're going to be regulated by the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection. And I guess from a planning perspective, I typically rely on those agencies to properly do their job in making sure that the environmental impacts are meeting all of the standards that are in place at both the federal and state level. According to the staff report, the applicant is proposing to fall within those regulations, and as I said previously, well, it's a heavy industrial zoning and a heavy industrial land use. So this is the type of use, you know, that I believe fits into the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. In addition to that, I know it's been brought up about the horses and the truck traffic and things of that nature. In my opinion, 10 to 15 trucks per day doesn't seem like anything that is not typical out there already at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. I would actually assume that many other land uses out there have a higher impact when it comes to truck traffic. So I just don't know if we can discuss the horses being at risk due specifically to Stericycle. In addition, it's already been mentioned that there are other incinerator facilities that exist within the industrial center. And this facility is proposing to meet the same standards that we put in place as far as environmental pollution and whatnot as this applicant. So I just, after looking through the staff report, seeing the conditions that are in place, knowing what the land use and the zoning are, I mean, I'm having a hard time seeing where this use would be not acceptable within a heavy industrial zoning and land use designation.
Thank you, Commissioner Pellett. Again, I'll ask one last time, any other commissioner comments, questions? Hearing none. I was just going to move to that point then, Commissioner Staples, I'll go and say that I would entertain a motion from commissioners based on their preference.
I'm prepared to make a motion. Did Brian Staples have a question, though?
No, I have no question. I just wanted to move to the question.
and approval or disapproval.
Right. So
I think we've discussed this enough.
Right. So, Summer, are you prepared to make a motion?
I am. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, the findings of fact under Section 3.A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Planning Commission in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Summer Pellis, recommend approval of Special Use Permit 2020021 to construct and operate a medical and other special waste incinerator facility. The project has the potential to provide generation of excess power, which is considered an electric or gas power generating plant, which is also subject to a special use permit. The subject property is located at 1655 Long Drive, Pajarito Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, a portion of the subject parcel number 005-11173.
Before I ask for a second, I am going to ask Summer if you would be willing to accept that there will be an additional finding number 8.
Mr. Chairman, this is Kathy Canfield for the record. Based on legal counsel advice, we wanted to add one more finding of fact to Section 3.A. It would be number 8. The finding would be granting of the special use permit would not be incompatible with or detrimental to the surrounding area. I believe this is really covered in the other findings of facts that are before you, but we wanted to make sure that this exact wording was in there because this matches our 1999 zoning code. Thank you.
So would you be willing to change your motion, Summer, to be a proposal for approval of the amended findings?
Do you need me to reread it or just say that my motion would include the amended finding number 8 as stated by Kathy Canfield?
I will defer to counsel to let us know if we need to reread it or if we can second it with that acceptance, with the second knowing that it's an amended motion. Amended report, excuse me.
Mr. Chairman, Steve Lewis, yes, you can accept the amendment as proposed by Ms. Canfield and as adopted by Ms. Bella.
Okay, so so you accept that, correct, Pellet? Or is Pellet? Excuse me. You accept that, right, Summer?
I do, Kendall.
All right. Touche. Is there a second that follows the amended? I have a second from Commissioner Staples. I will then... Yes, sir, Mr. Prater.
I would like to request a roll call vote.
Very well. We can do a roll call vote. Before we go to the roll call vote, I will turn it back to staff, to Ms. Canfield, for the findings of fact. Right? That's what I'm doing?
Yes. So correct. This approval is for special use permit 2020-021, a request by applicant Stericycle, Inc. to construct and operate a medical and other special waste incinerator facility. The project has the potential to provide generation of excess power, which is considered an electric or gas-powered generating plant, which is also subject to a special use permit. The subject property is located at 1655 Milan Drive, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, a portion of assessor's parcel number APN 005-111-73. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the McCarran planning area in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding for the special use permit is provided in Section 2.E of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of this special use permit. The subject property is located within an existing industrial neighborhood in the McCarran area of Story County. The zoning is based on the 1999 Story County Zoning Ordinance, which identifies this property as I-2 Heavy Industrial. The proposed facility is defined as a recycling facilities and operations involving use, recovery, or residue of hazardous materials and or wastes, and has an incinerator and has the potential to provide an electric or gas-powered generating plant and requires a special use permit. Granting of the special use permit with the conditions of approval listed in Section 4 of this report will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons, property, in the neighborhood of the subject property. The project is expected to meet the safety and health requirements for the subject area. The use will also be subject to building and fire plan review in order to ensure compliance with federal, state, and other codes. The special use permit will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding area, and it will comply with all federal, state, and county regulations. The conditions under the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in the 1999 Story County Zoning Ordinance, Section 17.37 I-2 Heavy Industrial and 17.62 Special Uses. Granting of the special use permit will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons working in the neighborhood or area of the subject property and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to property improvements in the neighborhood or area of the subject property. And then the last one to be added is granting of the special use permit would not be incompatible with or detrimental to the surrounding area.
Very good. We have a motion for approval by, amended motion for approval by Summer. We have a second by Brian, and we will have Lindy call the roll for a vote. And if you would reply yay or nay.
Jim Collins. Jim, can you hear us?
I think you're still on mute. On your phone, right?
Okay. Yay.
Yay.
Jim Collins.
And Brian Staples?
Yay.
Adrian Bob? Yay.
I'm sorry, Adrian, we didn't get, hear that?
Yay.
Yay.
Larry?
Larry, I don't want to argue with the project being proposed as an appropriate use of the land, but there is what I view as a lack of transparency by the applicant.
Okay.
Summer Pellet?
Yay.
Jim Hindle?
Yay. And, oh. So that means we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yay, 1 no, 1 nay, and the motion passes the special use, pardon me? Public comment on the vote? Oh, we'll come back. The motion passes, and the SUP will be forwarded to the board with appropriate notation, to the Board of Commissioners with appropriate notation. I see that we have a person with comment. Unfortunately, public comment is already finished on this topic. There will be an opportunity for public comment on the other items we are considering. And if there is general public comment, that will be addressed at the end of the meeting. So at this time, we're not taking any further comment on this application. I thank everybody who passionately presented their arguments on this. I know this is a difficult one, and thank you everybody for your participation, the applicant, and those who provided written comment specifically, and also those that provided public comment today. Larry, did you have something to add on that?
I'd like to take a break.
You would like a short recess?
Please.
All right. We will do that after I allow Commissioner Thompson to re-enter the meeting as an active board participant.
Yes, sir, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm here to be on board. Thank you.
Okay. 3 minutes, Larry, is that good?
About 5.
All right, we'll fee for 3 minutes, and that will mean we'll reconvene at 7:30.